I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our reading today is from John 20, 19 through 22. And when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the reading. I think we all need to inspect this a little closer, because I want you to think about the fact that Jesus walked and talked with the disciples from the beginning of his ministry. He chose them. He walked and talked with them for quite some time. He taught them about God, about himself, about his mission, and about his expectations for them after he was gone. And as we know, he even told them, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." All of that being said, why did Jesus feel the need to breathe on them and say, "Receive the Holy Spirit"? Would you not think they were already prepped and ready for service without it? Or would you think that they already had it? I mean, after all, he had been with them for some time. "After you were baptized and received into the fellowship of the church, were you not prepared and ready to serve the Lord? Were you? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, can't you say, 'Nothing is impossible for you'?" Jesus taught the disciples to love their neighbors themselves, making it clear everyone was their neighbor. He made that very clear. Everyone is your neighbor. Yet, we can read where the disciples were not willing to do so. Maybe that's our first clue as to why. Remember the Canaanite woman who shouted for Jesus to have mercy on her, and the disciples urged Jesus to send her away? That's not loving your neighbor. And it's not the only time the disciples said, "No, Lord, don't be around them." What about the children who came to Jesus, but the disciples tried to discourage them from approaching him, and Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." Children are your neighbor, are they not? And then there was the argument amongst the disciples as to who was the greatest. That was a good one. Prepped and ready? Probably not. You know, Joshua died at 110 years old in 1380 BC, thereabout. He assumed leadership around 1406 BC. Therefore, he was around 85 years old when he took command from Moses. That would be Bob Talent. That means that John Beeson's not even old enough yet to take over. Amen to that. Before Joshua ever took the reins, he had been a servant, a soldier, and a spy. Some feel you can make a man by giving him a position, but that is contrary to God's principles. It's not about position. God did not say, "Look out among you seven men that we can make of good report." In those days, positions were given to the faithful. It is a dangerous thing to give positions to try to create faithfulness. Well, you know, and you hear this in churches, "Well, if we make them an elder, maybe they'll start coming to church." Giving positions doesn't make someone faithful. Jesus knew that. He gave 12 men the position of disciples. But were they all faithful? God teaches us it takes time to develop leadership. Everyone wants the power, but few want the piety. So God chose Moses. Look how old Moses was by the time he finished his journey and was told he couldn't even go into the land of milk and honey. One might say, I wish I could play the piano. And you say, no, you don't. You won't practice. You won't practice that hard or that long. And spiritual victories are for those who have exercised spiritual discipline. We all know there are children who say, I want to play this instrument. And you say, okay, here. And then they won't practice. Well, I can't wait until I'm in the band. Well, you're not going to make it if you don't practice. It's that discipline. There are those who apply themselves. They have that spiritual discipline, the discipline to do what needs to be done to get where they're going. And sometimes that takes a while. Clearly, sometimes you got to be 85 years old and up before you ever get that kind of discipline. And even then, some people don't. Amen. In the days between death and resurrection, the disciples were learning spiritual discipline. So many believers today do not wish to have any spiritual discipline. So many believers do not want. That's a burden for them. What? You mean I have to actually read Scripture? Or I might need to go to a Bible study? Oh man, I don't have time for that. Just make me a Christian. They say, I want to be a good Christian, but I don't want to practice. They simply won't practice being a good Christian because they believe it to be too hard. And they don't want to invest the time. Their desire outweighs their commitment. And you think of that, and oftentimes that's true with children. But folks, that's true with adults. Jesus wanted his disciples to become leaders. That was the whole purpose in following him. I want you with me as I go on this journey so you can learn what to do and how to do it. And be a leader. Lead people to God. Notice before Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit, he says, peace be with you. Why? Because if we are not at peace with ourselves, how can we bring peace to others? If we are not at peace with ourselves, how can we pass on the peace of Christ? If we are taking shortcuts to spreading the word or we are not living out the gospel, there can be no peace within. The fact we are performing our duties as Christians hurriedly is evidence of no peace. It's like being in a frenzy. How many times have we seen, even in this church, we have someone come up and say, I want to be baptized. I've never been baptized. I want to be baptized. And these are older folk. You baptize them. Oh, this is so great. I love it. And oh, they extend the right hand of fellowship and they join the church and they're just enthusiastic. Then you never see them. How does that work? This is what I want. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a good Christian. And they'll come for a month, maybe even two. Then they disappear. Why? Because it's not easy. It takes time. We got to have the patience to know that we're going to learn how to be good Christians. No one expects us to be perfect right off the bat. The minister and writer Philip Brooks was known for his poise and quiet manner. However, one day a friend saw him pacing feverishly on the floor, just back and forth like a caged lion, and asked him what the trouble was. See if this sounds familiar. The trouble is, replied Brooks, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. We're in a hurry to do the work. And when it doesn't happen as fast, or we join a church and we find out people aren't perfect, well, I don't want to be. No, they're not perfect. I'm hearing all kinds of bad things. Think about it. The Christian movement has been with us for over 2,000 years. Does it sound like God's in a hurry? Do you think God is just whipping away here trying to get us in shape quickly? Or is it like Joshua and we're taking that journey? And it's going to take time. God calls us to be faithful, not fretful. to make his ministry last, not fast. When we find ourselves anxious about the gospel, we need to take deep breaths so our hearts and minds might be at peace. And that's why Jesus returns to his disciples and says, "Peace be with you," before he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. You got to have peace in your heart and know that I don't expect you to be perfect right now, but I expect you to stay the course and learn and to be a good disciple. But let us not forget the very important verse after "peace be with you" and breathing the Holy Spirit on them right in between there. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Be at peace. I commission you to carry the gospel into the world. And here's the Holy Spirit to assist you." There are three very important parts in this passage that John read. Be at peace. Once you've calmed yourself down, settled in, and decided you're going to be a good Christian and learn how to do that, then carry the gospel into the world. And know that the Holy Spirit is with you to assist you. And why the Holy Spirit to assist? Because the Holy Spirit is creativity and energy. If you've never understood the Holy Spirit, understand this. The Holy Spirit is creativity and energy. The Holy Spirit gives us the wherewithal to get the job done. Many Christians estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources and thus attempt little and often fail in the little they attempt. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they relied on God's power and presence with them. They relied on the Holy Spirit. You go back all the way to Moses. "Moses, I'm sending you to..." "Oh, don't send me. I stutter. I'm not a good leader. Let me take Aaron with me." "No, I'm sending you." "No, well, you see, Lord, I'm not fit. I'm not good enough." "No, I'm sending you." Abraham. Sends Abraham out. Abraham gets out there in the desert. Comes a king with all of his men. And Abraham says, "She's not my wife. You can have her." Is that weakness? "I'm not standing up to you." Didn't have enough faith to believe that God would have protected him. He said, "Take her." Weak men. God doesn't expect you to be strong right off. He does expect you to stay the course and learn. The disciples needed the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, of course, knew they needed it. Paul needed the Holy Spirit and relied on it, and we read that in his writings. We need the Holy Spirit and should rely on it. Pliny the Elder was a Roman writer who lived during the same time period as Jesus. He told a story of the setting of an obelisk, which when erect would stand 99 feet tall. 20,000 workers were chosen to pull on the ropes and activate the hoisting apparatus. There was great responsibility and risk in the operation. Just one error could cause the obelisk to fall, ruining years of work. The emperor demanded one thing to ensure the completion and to ensure the complete attention and best direction of his engineer. So he ordered the engineer's own son to be strapped to the apex of the obelisk so his heart as well as his head would be given to the task. If he knew his son was going to die, he was going to make sure it gets done right. God would never demand that from us, but he did from himself. He gave his only son. He doesn't ask that we tie anything, a life valuable to us, to what he's asked us to do. To threaten the life of another so we will focus on the gospel, focus on being faithful to the gospel, is not God's way. What God does is give us help. He has helped us through His Son, and He continues to help us through His Holy Spirit. And that's when Jesus returns and says, I know that you fled. I know that you're weak. But I know that I and my Father have faith in you. So receive the Holy Spirit. In our lives, if we devote ourselves to living the life Jesus has taught and is teaching us to live, then we will rely on the Holy Spirit to give us the energy and creativity to do so. Why? Because if we do not, then we are facing an impossible task. It is only through God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may accomplish that which Jesus has set us out to do. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that His disciples wandered around and they were sitting there by the water thinking about, well, let's just go back to fishing. He's gone. And we don't know what to do. And so Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, they get up, they get out, and they get the message to the world. Because they understood that they weren't going alone. They understood that the Spirit of God was with them. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can work in our lives if we're open to it. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The question I have for you today, for all of us, is, have you received the Holy Spirit? Are you creative in the way that you do the ministry of Jesus Christ, spreading the gospel, touching others with your life and touching their lives with the love of God? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Do you rely on the Holy Spirit every day to live the life that you profess as a follower of Jesus Christ? Or do you find yourself sometimes judging others and saying, oh, I don't want to be around them? Where are you on your faith journey? Does Jesus need to breathe the Spirit on you? To ensure you do, first, do as the disciples did in that short verse just before Jesus says, peace be with you. Remember this? Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. John read it. Have you seen the Lord? Do you find a quiet place and time to be with God, to speak to your Lord and Savior? Do you take quiet moments to say, Lord, this is what I want to do and I need you. I need you to breathe that Spirit on me now so I can go out and do the work that you have set me to do? Or are you in too big a hurry? Because all too often we are. Lord, I'm sorry, I would go over and help with the homeless. I would go and help feed people. But I'm just too busy. I've got too much to do. Invite the Lord into your life. Then pray for the Holy Spirit to give you the energy and creativity to live as a follower. To live as a follower. Because if we don't, we'll be like the disciples. We'll be returning to back to what we always did before we ever became a believer. Let's just go fishing. That's what we know. But Jesus knew what they needed, and He came. Peace be with you. I'm sending you to do the work. Receive the Holy Spirit. We got it all. We just need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, give me strength. Give me courage. Tell me what you need me to do, and I will do it. And then be faithful in doing it. You'll find a new life in Jesus Christ, guaranteed. Let us pray. Gracious God, oftentimes we are in a hurry. We find ourselves busy with schedules and meetings and doing all kinds of things that distract us from your mission, from your ministry. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let it descend on us. Let it fill us with creativity and energy that we may go forth from this place and do exactly what you would have us to do. And may we understand what that is. For we love you, we turn to you, because we need you. In your Son's name, amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.